I'm going to start this message this morning with a simple statement: God rules in the kingdom of men. Last week we saw that as Jesus said that there wouldn't be a stone left upon another. Remember, some of his disciples began to talk about the majestic stonework of the temple, Luke 21:5, and the memorial decorations on the walls. But Jesus said the time is coming when all these things will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left upon another. And so last week we looked at the fact that God is in control, and that God is in control in such a way that he knows what's coming, and that he has a plan for our lives. And we talked about the aspect of aging and getting old, and how often that causes people to be afraid and causes people to feel like they're on a downward journey. But for the Christian, now remember this, the Christian, with every passing second, is on an upward journey. How encouraging is that, friends? Age does not bring misery nor destruction into our lives because we're on an upward journey. Even if we lose our health, even if we lose our mind, as it were, through Alzheimer's, we are still on an upward journey because nothing is lost that has been committed into the hands of God. The precious thoughts, the precious memories, the precious person that you are is not lost by Alzheimer's. It is just temporarily set aside for a short period of time. And then you burst into heaven's glory and experience all that God has for you for eternity. So there is no downward trend for the believer, not in spiritual terms. It is always further in and higher up. And praise the Lord for that. Praise God that not only does he do that to get us into heaven, but also we have this journey that we're on in this life so that the wisdom that's accrued over the years becomes a wonderful thing to have deposited within you. Man, I look back when I was 21 or 22 years old, even after I was a Christian, I thought I knew everything. Now I'm finding out I know nothing or very little, just a smidgen of what there is to know when we discover the greatness of God. There's a lot of wisdom that comes with age, and the sad part, of course, is that young people don't think that old people have much to offer, but they don't understand that they have much to give in terms of wisdom, grace, and all kinds of things, especially if we walk with Jesus Christ through this life. We have much to offer. It's an upward journey, not a downward one, for those who are putting their faith and trust in God. Everything else will crumble and fall. Not just the rocks at the temple of Jerusalem, which we said were huge, and yet they were all toppled. Not just the world and everything that's in it. Everything will fall in this world. But those who walk with God are not going downward. They are going forward. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. The best uplift you can get is not here or here. It's in the heart. And it's a wonderful one that God can give us through Jesus Christ. So, I'm going to continue in this passage, but looking at it from this perspective, again, as the Jesus predicted that there would be a devastation come, Luke 21:7, here's what they asked. The disciples said, "Teacher," they asked, "when will all this happen? What sign will show us that these things are about to take place?" He replied, "Don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah or the Christ, and saying the time has come. But don't believe them. Have there people come and said, 'Oh, the end of the world is going to happen on such and such a date?'" Has that happened? More than once, right? Lots of people have said this, but has it happened? No. Right. Yeah. My question was a little bit deceiving. Right. "And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars or insurrections, don't panic. Yes, these things must take place first, but the end won't follow immediately." Then he added, "Nation will go to war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and there will be famines and plagues in many lands, and there will be terrifying things and great miraculous signs from heaven." So there's quite a list of things that Jesus said are going to be happening towards the end of the age. Now this tells us something. God already knows. God is already there. He already sees. He already knows everything that's going to happen. God rules in the kingdom of men, friends. There's no surprises with God. And we're going to talk a little bit about why do things get worse. Why does it have to happen that this world becomes worse and worse? There are reasons for it that I'll try to share with you today as we think about the coming of the end of the age, because the end of the world will come, and I have no date to give you today. So you're not going to get one from me, because the Bible says nobody knows the day or the hour. But the Father in heaven knows exactly when this old world's going to be folded up like a garment, as it says in the book of Isaiah, and put away. And God has a new age, a new creation that's coming. He's not going to leave us with nothing. If you trust in the Lord, it's a hope. So you can lift up your heads. Jesus said this, lift up your heads, for your redemption is near. And says, but he says this. Now there's two prophecies involved in the statement that Jesus made here. One for that was quite immediate, and one that was at the very end of the age. And here's how he goes to the first one, the one that's immediate. He says, but before all this occurs, okay, he says, there will be a time of great persecution. You will be dragged into synagogues and prisons. You will stand trial before kings and governors because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. So don't worry in advance about how to answer the charges against you. For I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you. Even those closest to you, your parents, your brothers, your relatives and friends will betray you. And they will even kill some of you. And everyone will hate you because you are my followers. But not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will win your souls. And when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you will know that the time of its destruction has arrived. Then those in Judea must flee to the hills, and those in Jerusalem must get out, and those out in the country should not return to the city. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming with power and great glory. So when all these things begin to happen, look up, for your salvation is near. Oops, I lost some here. Oh, here we are. For those will be the days of God's vengeance, and the prophetic words of the scripture will be fulfilled. How terrible it will be for pregnant women and for nursing mothers in those days, for there will be disaster in the land and great anger against this people. They will be killed by the sword or sent away as captives to all nations of the world, and Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentiles until the period of the Gentiles comes to an end. Now I want to look at this first prediction that Jesus gives. And in this first prediction, he's saying, before all those other things occur, the increasing in earthquakes and all the devastation and destruction worldwide, he says, something else has to happen first. And what he begins to talk about is that there will be a great destruction come upon the city of Jerusalem. There will be a great judgment come against Israel. And he was predicting something that did happen, and it happened in 70 A.D., Jesus was put to death in 33 A.D., and in 70 A.D., Titus came from Rome, and he devastated the land of Israel. Jerusalem was ransacked. It was left desolate, and the Jews were scattered all over the world, all over the globe. They were scattered everywhere. They no longer had a homeland. After that, they had no homeland until 1948. And after the Holocaust and all the devastation of the Second World War, then the Jews were, the nations of the world decided that the Jews deserved to have a homeland. And so they took a part of Israel that was there, it was under British rule, and they actually formed the nation of Israel in 1948, and Jews began to filter back from all over the world back to the nation of Israel. Something that was actually predicted that would happen even in the Old Testament, that someday the Jews would be go back to their homeland. Lots of conflict there because there were Palestinians that were living in that area for almost 2,000 years. Do you think they thought it was their home? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And can't blame them for that. And so there's been conflict ever since, trying to sort out who owns this land. But nevertheless, it was predicted by God that they would be scattered everywhere. And that's what Jesus said here, didn't he? Look what it says. I can find it here for you. They will be killed by the sword and sent away as captives to all the nations of the world, and Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentiles until the period of Gentiles comes to an end. A Gentile is a non-Jew. And so what happened was the Jews had possession of Jerusalem. In 70 AD it was all ripped away from them, and then it was owned by non-Jews, Gentiles, until it says it will be trampled down by the Gentiles until the period of the Gentiles comes to an end. till the time comes when no longer will the Gentiles rule in Jerusalem, but the Jews will again. Well, that's happened. And so here's Jesus predicting the timeline, the things that are going to happen over 2,000 years, and he was bang on. My friends, if you're going to stop and consider, should I take close notice to the words of Jesus Christ? Why should I listen to him more than anybody else? Why should I pay very close attention to what he has to say? Because we find that everything that he says is the truth. We discover that if he can predict such things with such accuracy, we should be very careful when he talks about our eternal souls and what does it take to be in his heaven, and make sure that we follow his blueprint every step of the way. Because to miss his blueprint will be to miss heaven. Because Jesus is accurate in everything that he says and everything that he does. And we can see it even here as he gave these predictions about what would happen. And so when he says here that people would come, there'll be false prophets and all these predictions that are there. But as he says what would happen to the Jews, it's exactly what happened. A persecution came upon them. They were dragged before kings. James was killed by Herod. Stephen was martyred. Paul was being hauled before kings and rulers, before King Agrippa. He was imprisoned. There were charges against him. Some of them were killed. Some of them experienced lots of persecution. All these things happened to them. But Jesus predicted, and he told them, listen, trust the Lord. Trust me in it all. He says, some of you will even be killed. Then he says, but not a hair of your head will perish. How can you be killed and not a hair of your head perish? How does that make sense?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. Because you know the body that you have? Now, sometimes we get a little bit tired of our body. We try to trim off a little bit of it. I've been trying to do that lately, and it's starting to work a little anyway. And I'm glad for that, because I was starting to balloon. And it seems like you got to keep trying to deflate the balloon, but it's not. It's easier to blow it up than it is to deflate it, if anybody else knows that. I know it. However, this body will be resurrected by the power of Jesus Christ, or if Christ returns while I'm still alive, it'll be translated and changed into a glorious body. And so I think it'll have hair, because this is not a hair of your head. It'll be injured. Anyway, this body will be a glorified body. It'll be different. It'll be changed. Jesus Christ, after he rose from the dead, he still had the nail prints in his hand. He still had the wound in his side. But he had a supernatural body that was able to walk through walls. I always wanted to do that. When I was a kid, I tried it, but it didn't work. It will be able to walk through walls. Will be able to. It'll be a supernatural body, being able to move in different ways. And yet, it'll be a resurrected body that God has planned for us. Some people think, oh, well, people are in heaven right now, you know, that they'll never have their bodies back. No, there's a resurrection of the body that's still to happen. Souls are in heaven waiting for the resurrection of the body. They're not yet complete there yet. They're still waiting. And when that resurrection of the body comes, God will give us a new heavens and a new earth to live on, and it will be glorious. It will be incredible. These are the things that God has already laid out for us, and they're not going to be twisted or changed by man. It's exactly what God says. And so, as he speaks here, and he encourages them, and he's encouraging the apostles, because all but one of the apostles was martyred. They were killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. So everything happened the way he said it would happen at that time. And yes, the destruction came to Jerusalem, and he says, if you're in Judea, flee to the hills. In Jerusalem, you got to get out. And he was warning them, listen, it's going to come. You better get out of Jerusalem. And the people that were left in Jerusalem when Titus came, I think I shared a little bit, I think it was last week, they went through an incredible time of misery. Some mothers ate their own babies. Josephus, who was a Jewish historian, recorded it. That's exactly what happened. The two mothers, in Josephus' story, I think it was two mothers, one said, we're going to starve anyway, let's eat our children. And they said, well, we'll eat yours first, and then we'll eat yours second. And one of them ate one of their babies, and then the other mother took off with the other baby afterwards and didn't keep up her end of the bargain. Just the horrible things that went on, because they were under siege, there was no food, there was no water, there was nothing. And Jesus predicted, he said, this is going to happen. It's going to be surrounded by armies, and you know that the time of destruction has arrived, and those in Judea must flee to the hills, those in Jerusalem must get out, and those in the country should not return to the city, for those will be days of God's vengeance, and the prophetic words of Scripture will be fulfilled. how terrible it will be for pregnant women, nursing mothers in those days. There will be disaster in the land and great anger against its people. They will be killed by the sword or sent away as captives to all nations of the world. And then Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentiles. Not a pretty picture, friends. Now, I want you to know something. That when God says judgment will come, it will come. And he puts that in his word, and he allows judgments to happen, but he does it for the reason that we might understand when he says there's a judgment coming, when he says there's an eternal hell, you may be sure that it will happen. And you may be sure that's exactly where you will go if you do not have Jesus Christ. Whether we like it or whether we don't, who are you going to argue with? You're going to try and argue with God and say, God, I don't like the way you do things. Well, tough on you. What are you going to do about it? You're going to slap him around? No. Nothing you can do except fall before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, embrace him as your Lord and Savior. You see, God warned the Jews over and over, if you do this, if you reject the Messiah, then judgment will follow. He warned them over and over and over. And what did they do? They rejected him and judgment fell. And I want you to know this, if you reject Jesus Christ, judgment will fall. I tell you, as sure and as certain as anything, and I say it with all the love I can in my heart, God brings pressures on this world because, listen, it is better to go through deep trial here and be saved than to carry on in beds of ease and everything going your way and land in hell. Far better. Far better to go through some trial here and find Jesus Christ in the midst of your trial, no matter how dark it is, no matter how deep it is. God is able to rescue people, and is most of the time, it's people who are going through trials that turn to the Lord. Bank account full, everything going well, I don't need God. So we carry on. But often when we are devastated, often when things don't go our way, often when we lose so much, we don't know where to turn. That's when we finally cry out to God. And many times people have come to know the Lord in a wonderful way. And so, as we look at this, I want to just quickly go over what happens near the end of the age, because he says this, nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Now you might wonder, how come it says nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom? Aren't they both the same? No, the word nation against nation actually means this, ethnic groups against other ethnic groups. You would think that in our world today, as the world is getting smaller and smaller by communication and transportation, that people would start be getting along more and more and more. But that's not what's happening. Ethnic groups are rising up against other ethnic groups. You know what I mean by ethnic groups? So it's the blacks against the whites. It's the natives against the non-natives. It's the Serbs against the Croats. It's all over the planet, is it not? So there's two things that are mentioned here. One is nation against nation. That's people groups against people groups. And then kingdoms against kingdoms. That's countries fighting each other. And you know that most of the wars that are happening now are ethnic wars rather than national wars. Most of them are internal, happening, civil war happening in many, many countries today. The average, I think, is 37 major wars going on in the world at one time. And that generally, mostly all of those wars are ethnic groups against other ethnic groups. And the kinds of cleansing, what they call cleansing or getting rid of one group of people because of their ethnicity, because they are a Jew or because they are an Arab or because they're whatever it is. And so this is exactly what Jesus said would happen. He said there would be great earthquakes. And it actually says in another part there will be various earthquakes in many, many places. If you want to look at seismology and discover what is happening, you discover that earthquake activity has worldwide increased dramatically over the last 100 years. It is the shifting of plates has become so prevalent that these great earthquakes will happen. And there will be famines and plagues in many lands. These things are happening. They've always happened to some extent. Let's not misunderstand that. But what we're talking about is a growing increase of plagues, a growing increase of famines. And that is exactly what we see happening in our world. And there will be terrifying things and great miraculous signs from the heavens. And then he goes into this discourse about Jerusalem. And then we go back to this passage here. There will be strange, Luke 21:5, there will be strange signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And here on earth the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by roaring seas and strange tides. We'll see an increase where the ocean itself will begin to be roiling and boiling, and people will be terrified of what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. I don't know when the end of the world will come, friends, but I can say that what Jesus spoke of, we're seeing some of it. We're not seeing all of it yet. It'll be worse, but we're certainly seeing some of these things beginning to come to pass. And so what does Jesus say about that? I got my slides mixed up here, so I'm kind of bouncing around a little bit. So he says this, then everyone, Luke 21:27, will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. So when all these things begin to happen, stand and look up, for your salvation is near. So what does he say at the end of all of these terrible things that are happening? He says, listen, stop. Stand, look up. Lift up your heads is actually what it says in another translation. For your redemption, your salvation is very near. Lift up your heads. You don't have to be afraid if you have Jesus Christ. You can see that the trouble's coming in this world. You can see the turmoil rising. You can see more and more division and fighting and rebellion and everything else happening. You can see that even the world itself seems to be creaking and groaning under the weight of most of what we have done to it. And at the same time, he says, when you see these things coming to pass, lift up your head, your redemption is near. Look up. Look up. You have Christ. You have hope. You have a hope that goes beyond this world. Everything in this world will be shaken. Everything in this world will be wiped away. But whoever stands on a solid rock, Jesus Christ, will stand through the test of every circumstance and situation and be found in the presence of God. Isn't that wonderful to know that there's hope in the midst of that kind of darkness? Why will God allow such pressures to happen? Why will he let the world become worse and worse? Why will he allow men to rise up and go through all of this kind of stuff? The Bible says there's a spirit. The Spirit of God is restraining people from going too far. It isn't man's wisdom that has kept us from being blown apart already. It isn't man's wisdom that has kept the nuclear buttons from being pressed and this world just being toasted and roasted. It is the power of God. God has restrained men from going to the full extent of their wickedness. But God will give man their own way and give them remove that restraint, and men will go to such terrible lengths. Look what they go to already. But oh, when he lifts the presence of the Spirit of God upon them, and he will watch and see how terrible it will be. Why would he allow that to happen? Because that's the heart of man. That's the direction man wants to go in. And God is going to say, okay, you want to go that way? I'll let you go that way. Here's the results. Watch and see what man can produce without God. Look and see what will come of it. For he does this for this reason. Because in the middle of the distress, in the middle of the pressures that will come, there will be dividing lines. People will either curse God or they will call on the Lord and be saved. He will bring it to the point where, look, it's either one way or the other, friends. You can't pretend. You can't live in the middle. You can't pretend that you're following God and at the same time follow the devil. It won't work that way, not when those pressures come, because you'll need the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll need him. You'll need him for everything. Friends, we need the Lord. We need Jesus Christ. Turn to him now. Before things get even worse, give your heart and soul and mind and strength to Jesus Christ now. Don't be caught up in the things of this world. Don't let them drive you. Don't let them suck you in. Because there will come a time when you will be challenged in an incredible way, that either you're going to follow Jesus Christ wholeheartedly or you'll follow this world system. And I'll tell you, the world system will offer you the safety and the security that the world can offer, which is very temporary, but it will offer you financial security. It will offer you something that you'll have to make a choice. Will I run after this or will I run after Jesus? Run after him now, friends. Give him your heart now. Let him have his way now, because judgment is coming. The end of the world will happen. If it doesn't happen in your lifetime, it'll happen in somebody's lifetime. But at any rate, the end of your world will come someday anyway, won't it? Even if the end of the world doesn't happen. Jesus gave an illustration, Luke 21:29, he gave them this illustration. Notice the fig tree or any other tree. When the leaves come out, you know without being told that summer is near. Make sense? Right? Spring's coming, oh, the leaves are budding. Looks good. My grandfather used to say, we were fishing Gaspereau in the spring of the year. And he would always say, when the alder leaf is the size of a rat's ear, the big run of fish is going to come. That's the stuff that they went for. Because they watched the seasons. They watched the times. And there was a lot of wisdom. They knew what was happening. And they used to say, well, when the swallows are down at the Margaret Harbor Bridge, there's fish coming up. And often that was the case. But here we see Jesus saying, I want you to look for signs. Look, you know that when leaves start to break out, that spring and summer is coming. Summer's near. In the same way, when you see all these things take place, you can know the kingdom of God is near. Do you see what he's saying? I'm giving you indications. Just like the leaves are an indication that summer's coming, I'm giving you some indications about when the end of the age is coming. When you see these things begin to take place, you know that the end is near. Does that make sense? That's what he's saying. He's giving them an obvious illustration so that they might know. And so he says, I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass away from the scene until all these things have taken place. The generation that sees all these signs taking place, he says, they're not going to die before the end comes. That's kind of thought-provoking, is it not? Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. When he says heaven and earth, I want you to understand, he's not talking about God's dwelling place. He's talking about the starry and the atmospheric heavens, the universe and the earth that is on it. All of that will disappear. So watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Three things that are mentioned here. One is carousing. That is, your whole life you're just going to party on. You don't care, right? Your whole life is based on getting drunk, getting stoned, going on in that direction, or drunkenness. Don't let this, your heart, be dulled by this thing. Don't allow these things to happen to you. So those are two things that mention. But notice the other one. The other one is more prevalent probably than any other one, and that is what? By the worries of this life. By the worries of this life. Don't allow your heart to be dulled. If the worries of this life begin to swamp your mind and your life, you're going to have a dull heart toward the things of God. I can tell you that. Because God has an answer for worry and fear and anxiety. And the answer is cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. And so these three things are mentioned here, and they're not mentioned for nothing. It says don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap. Don't get caught without Christ. For that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. Keep alert at all times and pray that you might be strong enough to escape those coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. That is looking for God's strength. That's why prayer is so involved here. Every day Jesus went to the temple to teach, and each evening he returned to spend the night on the Mount of Olives. And the crowds gathered at the temple early each morning to hear him. Friends, Jesus gives us solemn warning, but he also gives us great promise of blessing. Trust in the Lord. Give your heart to him. Discover the faithfulness of God in the midst of the calamity of life, and that no matter what comes down the pipe, we can lift up our heads and know that our salvation is near. Make sure you have Jesus Christ. The end is coming. I have no idea when. I'm not going to wave a sign and say the end is near right now, okay? Because I don't know when it is. But I do know this, that every word that Jesus said will come to pass. It already has, and it will continue to do so. Because what did he say? Heaven and earth may pass, disappear, but my words will never disappear. The wonderful thing we discover is that God is in control. He rules in the kingdom of men. He is Lord of all. He is ruling over all things. You can have a full confidence that God is fully, completely in control. In the Old Testament, there was a story. I'm going to summarize this very quickly. And it was Daniel. Daniel was a prophet of God. He lived in Babylon. There was a king named Nebuchadnezzar. He had this dream about a tree and getting cut down and a stump there. And then eventually the tree grows back. And he gets all freaked out. He asks everybody in the kingdom, oh, I want the people to tell me what this dream meant. Because it was a dream that he knew had supernatural meaning behind it. And so finally he ends up with Daniel. And Daniel tells him, here's exactly what's going to happen here, King. King Nebuchadnezzar, he tells him, you're going to get proud. You're going to think that you're in control. And God is going to devastate you. And you're going to be like an animal for 7 years. And then you're going to be restored to your kingdom. But you're going to be a lot humbler than you were beforehand. And here's what happened. All this came upon Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. This was after the dream, after Daniel warned him. Daniel warned him, if you don't humble yourself, you're going to be in trouble. Here's what happened. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" Yeah, he was boasting. He was proud. He says, "I've done all this myself." Listen. While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. And they'll drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They'll make you eat grass like an ox, and 7 times shall pass over you, 7 years, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomever he chooses." The Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whoever he chooses. Some people are all rattled up because Trump is the president of the United States. God already knew, friends. He rules in the kingdom of men. He allowed this to happen, just as he allowed Obama and anybody else that ruled in the kingdom of men, including Hitler, friends. It was God that allowed it. If he didn't want it to happen, it wouldn't have happened. He's in control. He never stops. He rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whoever he chooses. Now, you understand something. Even the devil himself is subject to the power of God. What did the devil do? He entered Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. Why? Because he wanted to wipe Jesus out and get rid of him. The devil thought he was accomplishing something, but in the end, what happened? The cross was the greatest victory. The devil thought it was going to be the greatest defeat. The cross was the greatest victory. And when we look back in the history of men, once we get to the other side of things, if you're a Christian, you'll be able to get to the other side of things and look back in the history of men and, yes, even see Hitler. And see all of those that sought to fight against God and do their own thing, and God allowing them to go so far and no farther. And we will see that God ruled in the kingdom of men. And that he had a plan in the midst of all of that. For even the persecution and the devastation that happened to the Jews caused the sympathy of the nations that the Jews could have a homeland again. Even that. We don't know all the plans and circumstances of God. We won't understand it all until we see him face to face. But I tell you this, God rules in the kingdom of men. In the very hour was fulfilled, his Nebuchadnezzar was driven, for men ate grass like an ox, his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers, his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the time, my Nebuchadnezzar lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" And so we understand then again. He honored God. He discovered that God ruled in the kingdom of men. We might as well know that, friends. There's no need to be anxious about who's president of where. We can trust God. He rules in the kingdom of men. In all the turmoils that can happen in your individual life, in the turmoils that can happen in the nations, and there is turmoil and it will increase, the kingdom of God rules in the kingdom of men. God rules in the kingdom of men. He is in control. Trust him. Turn your heart, turn your life over to him, because so that you might know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whoever he chooses. What a wonderful thing to have Jesus Christ in the midst of the turmoil of this age and wondering what's going to happen next. We have Jesus Christ. Lift up your head. Trust in him. Father, we thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be deceived. We don't have to be fooled. We don't have to be drawn away by false teachers. We don't have to be, Lord, full of fear and anxiety over the circumstances that happen in our world. But we have someone whom is a rock that we can lean on, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, and all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth, and that you still rule. Oh, Lord, would to God, Lord, that sinners would turn to you, that they would understand the severity of judgment, but the wonder of promise that can be found in Jesus Christ, and turn over their lives completely, heart, soul, body, and mind, to Jesus Christ, whose name we pray. Amen.